afternoon, and welcome to Michigan Sports. This is your host, Doug, and it is February 2nd. Happy Groundhog's Day, everybody. Today, we're going to get into a couple topics. I'm going to start off with some Michigan basketball. We're going to talk a little Michigan Tech hockey for a friend. We had that requested. And we're going to welcome Blake Griffin to Detroit, everybody. And I won't go too much into that, and I don't want to spoil that segment. But first up, let's talk about the Michigan basketball game. They faced Northwestern. Michigan won 58-47. Wolverines got off to a slow start, shot only 42% in the first half, but did have a run to make it a 21-19 lead at halftime. Defense really clamped down in this game, only allowing Northwestern to score 47. Matthews led the way with 14 points. Mo Wagner scored 5 points during a 7-0 run that put Michigan up 48-38, and that's when the defense clamped down and finished out the game. Michigan won 58-47. That was the final. Next game up is Michigan versus Minnesota in Ann Arbor, and that will be tomorrow. Seems like Michigan is getting these slow starts quite frequently now, and it is something to worry about as we do approach March next month. And when you're in a tournament style, these slow starts really kill you. It can only take one bad first half and you're out of the tournament. So I do really look to see John Beilein try to get a hold of this slow start, because it's something that can really kill us in the tournament, as far as the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament coming up. And I do see if we can kind of curb these slow starts and play to Michigan's potential, I see them making a deep run in the tournament. I would like to hear you guys' opinion on how deep of a run you think Michigan can get in the NCAA tournament. Right now, I would see them in the Elite Eight, right around there. If Abdul Rahman plays out of his mind like he did against Purdue, this is a Final Four team. And I'm going to say that right now. It's on his shoulders. He's a senior. He started for 4 years. And if he can bring that level of attitude and that level of scoring every game in the tournament, Michigan's going to be a tough out, I'll tell you right now. But that's the thing. If Michigan doesn't shoot well, our post game is kind of still in its infant stage. Michigan hasn't had a post game the last few years. Any of you Michigan basketball fans know that. This year we've really developed a post game, but it's not something that I would say we can lean on. It's not something that's going to win us a basketball game like Purdue can lean on their post game and win basketball games that way. Michigan's got to hit the three, and it opens up the floor and allows Michigan's offense to run a lot more efficiently when we can get our post game going early. And that's with Wagner, and that's with the other big fella down low. It really helps as far as rebounding as well, because we're playing the post and we got our big guys down there ready to rebound. And you know, if you're just shooting threes, all you guys are out behind the arc, you got maybe one guy down there and you're not getting a lot of boards. So on top of, if you're not shooting well threes, you're also going to get out rebounded. So that's just a recipe for disaster there. Let me know what you think about Michigan's NCAA chances in the tournament, and where do you see them? Right now they have them as an 8 seed playing a 9 seed Alabama, which is kind of a joke. I think Michigan would smoke Alabama right now in basketball. It's not even close. But I do see him climbing. I don't see him as an 8 seed. I see us more as a 5 seed by the time it's all said and done. Maybe even higher. Maybe a 4 seed. But that's my take on Michigan basketball. We do have Minnesota coming up tomorrow. So next Friday I will be covering two games for you, since there was only one this last week, because I covered the tough Purdue loss already last Friday. And the next topic of the day is, we welcomed Blake Griffin to Detroit last night, and it started off in a little comical way. Blake Griffin gets ready to come out on the floor, you know, takes his warm-up jersey off and forgot his jersey. Welcome back to Michigan Sports. And we were talking about Blake Griffin. It was an exciting night last night for any Pistons fan, really. It's been a long time since we really had anything to get excited about being a Detroit Pistons fan. Last night was one of those nights. I was amped up. I watched the pregame show for the first time since I don't know how long. I do regularly watch the Pistons, but the excitement's just not there. I mean, I'm a big Andre Drummond fan. I think Jackson's a good point guard. But other than that, we haven't really had a whole lot these last few years in making quick exits in the playoffs a few years ago and then not making the playoffs. It's just been a tough time to be a Pistons fan. But we got some exciting news as that trade went through, and a lot of people saying that we lost the trade and it wasn't a good deal. But for one, I think if you can get a superstar on your team and you don't give up a superstar, that's a good deal. So we got Blake Griffin, and we got our first look at him last night playing with Andre Drummond, and man, he did not disappoint. Griffin gave us 24 points, had 10 rebounds, and added 5 assists onto that. And it really seemed like early on he was just trying to find his way into the offense and hasn't had a whole lot of practice with the team yet. And it seemed like he's a guy who can handle the ball well, who is looking for the open player, which is great. I love that style of basketball, and so does everyone else in Detroit. There's nothing more I hate than people hogging the ball, like James Harden trying to score every point. It might be exciting to some of you fans out there, but that's just not basketball to me. Basketball is passing to the open man, getting the best look you can get, and playing like a team and playing team defense, something apparently most of the NBA has forgot how to do, is play defense. Last night, Pistons played some defense. You know, we did allow 102 points, but when it mattered, we stopped them. And I really think that Griffin is going to be a great addition to the team, especially once Jackson comes back. We can really find out, you know, what this team can do. At this point, it's still up in the air as far as, you know, right now we're the 9th seed, you know, just outside of the playoffs. But, I mean, at the least, I think this team can make the playoffs. But really how Jackson and Griffin and Drummond, how they gel and blend together and play as a team will really spell what we can do. And if we can win a playoff series, because I think they have the talent now in this team to win a playoff series, we just can't be an 8 seed or a 7 seed to do it. Let me guys know what you think. If you watched the game, if you were excited. I know this was an exciting game for me as a Pistons fan, and I'm really looking forward to Jackson coming back and possibly even adding some additions here and to be competitive in the East, because right now it's seems like Boston's to lose, and you know, the Cavaliers are going to be in there, you would think, with the way they're playing right now. Who knows? But I have a hard time believing that they're not going to be in the mix at the end of the year. Let me know what you think, and tell me if you were excited to watch Blake Griffin put that Pistons uniform on for the first time. Welcome back to Michigan Sports. I have a topic that I planned on staying away from for a while, but I got pushed into it by a friend who is a big LeBron James fan. And, well, here we go. It's the LeBron versus Jordan topic. And it seems like this has been beat to death. Like, at this point, what can LeBron do to be better than Jordan? You know, I know there's all these stats coming out on ESPN about, you know, youngest player to do this, you know, youngest player to do that. But I think a lot of people don't understand stats. So I'll break it down, especially for my buddy. Is stats can be warped and twisted any way you want them to be to make your point valid. So if you want to say LeBron's the best ever, you're going to say LeBron scored more points than Jordan at a younger age. But nobody will go back and look at the games and the amount of games it took them to do it. That's the key. Jordan went to college, LeBron didn't, so of course he's going to be younger, just like Kobe's going to be younger in some of these categories. But no one talks about that. They just blurt out this stat and then go about running their little LeBron mouths. But for somebody who's supposed to be the best player ever, man, do I see him quit a lot. I watched Jordan a lot. And I was born in 86, so earlier in his career, I watched a lot on tape, so I didn't watch a lot of that live. But in the 90s, I watched so many basketball games, it was crazy. And I was a big Pistons fan. And, you know, so a part of me does feel a little dirty saying that Michael Jordan's the best of all time, being a Pistons fan and knowing the hatred that he had for Detroit. But putting that aside, he is the best player because he played in an era where there was defense. He played in an era where a lot of people are going to argue this, knew how to play fundamental basketball. He played in an era where you could hand check, where somebody could put their hand on you and keep you from going left to right. Nowadays, you look at LeBron, he gets a foul. And that's basketball today. That's what these kids have grown up today, learning that is basketball. But that's not basketball to me. Basketball to me is being able to play tough physical defense. You know, 2004 Pistons, keeping people under 70 points for how many games they did it. Tons in a row, breaking the record. NBA said enough. 2004 Pistons, enjoy your trophy. It's never going to happen again. And they made the hand check rule after they won the championship. And I find it hilarious that people say the NBA is better now than it ever was. I feel like they're just blind to scoring. Like, that's almost like saying, man, these NFL wide receivers are better than they've ever been. Even though they can't go, you know, they can go across the middle without any fear because it's a penalty to play defense in the NFL now. No helmet to helmet, you know, a defenseless wide receiver. There was no defenseless wide receiver. It's kind of the same thing in the NBA. You know, you can't have hand checking. You can't look at the guy and play defense. They don't let you be a defender anymore. Because David Stern wanted more offense, wanted more scoring. That's why after 2004 and the hand-checking was made, you had people like Gilbert Arenas going off and averaging 30 points a game. You had more people that following year that averaged 30 points a game than any other time in NBA history. And it's all because of the hand-checking. You know how hard it is to play defense without touching them at all? Without being able to put your body in front of them, without being able to put a hand on them. And if you like scoring, you're probably going to hate this segment because I'm a defense guy, always been a defensive guy. Welcome back to Michigan Sports. We're on the topic of Jordan versus LeBron. And I'm going to end this conversation real quick because as far as I'm concerned, this is a conversation that's already passed. It's already been done. It's like anyone who says, Tom Brady's not the best quarterback of all time. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go talk to somebody else. That's kind of this where this discussion has been. It's like the ship has sailed. LeBron, you had your chance. LeBron, you keep losing in the finals. LeBron, you couldn't beat Dirk. LeBron, you had to have Ray Allen save your butt, or you wouldn't have had another championship. And you'd have only two. After not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. LeBron, you brought this on yourself. You're the one who ran your mouth when you left Cleveland because you couldn't win a title in Cleveland the right way by having a team built around you the right way. So you're the one who started this bull that we see in the NBA of Durant going to a better team, can't beat him, so he joins them. And now we hear them rumors about LeBron thinking about that. Which we know LeBron's out of Cleveland, because they're not going to win it this year. And he's going to blame everyone else around him besides him, because of course it can't be LeBron's fault, right? He can only do so much with all these stars, right? He needs Durant now, right? But LeBron's the best of all time, but he can't win a championship in the league that plays the least defense of all time. How is that possible? LeBron, you got 3 championships. All right, 3-5 in the NBA Finals. About to be 3-6. If you can even make it to the finals this year, because, man, you have one dysfunctional team up there in Cleveland. But it's always point the finger at everyone else, LeBron. How about get your team in the practice and teach them how to play some defense? How about be a leader? Something we have never seen from LeBron. Only thing he knows how to lead is scoring. That's it. He's not a leader. He never has been a leader. He's a blame everyone else around me when stuff falls apart and pack my bags and I'm gone. Doesn't sound like any leader that I know. So I'm going to end this debate right now, because as far as I'm concerned, LeBron, your ship has sailed. You have no chance to become greater than Jordan. 6-0 in the finals, undefeated, more MVPs, more final MVPs. And when you compare the amount of games, you know, just over 1,000 games for Jordan, and you compare the same amount of games, everyone wants to talk about stats. Well, let's make the stats equal. When you compare the same amount of games, Jordan's got him on most of the stats. At least the ones that count in my eyes. Look at the defense. Look at the steals. Look at the blocks. Look at the scoring. LeBron still doesn't score more than Jordan. But you want to say youngest player to 30,000, oh my goodness, best player of all time. LeBron's so good, but he can't win championships. LeBron's so good, but he always has an excuse. LeBron's so good, but he can't be a team leader. LeBron's so good, he wants to blame everybody else when he fails. Instead of getting in that gym and working harder with his team. Now let's have a players-only meeting where we blame Kevin Love. LeBron will never be greater than Jordan. Period. This conversation is over. It has sailed. There's nothing left that LeBron could do that would make people say, with a break, he is better than Jordan. Because guess what? The ship's already sailed. He's already scored more points. Michael Jordan's already scored more points and more championships. Welcome back to Michigan Sports. Today, by request, we're going to cover a little Michigan Tech hockey. Now, for those who aren't from Michigan, Michigan Tech is located in the Upper Peninsula. Yes, that is part of Michigan, for those not from here. And honestly, it is a great hockey town. It is a winter wonderland up there. Their stadium looks like a semi-pro team. They are really big into their hockey up there, and they've had some amazing seasons as of late, but they did just lose their head coach to Michigan. So this year's been kind of a struggle for them as they're trying to find their feet and work with their new head coach. This year they are 13-11-5 overall in their conference. They're 9-8-5. They're just coming off back-to-back losses to Ferris State. They lost to Ferris State 4-3 on January 26th and 3-1 on January 27th. Next up, they play Bowling Green today and tomorrow. I will be reporting weekly on Michigan Tech hockey. Like I said, this is a requested topic. And anyone else out there have any requested topics or teams you would like me to cover, as long as they are in Michigan, and I will cover them in depth. If they're not in Michigan, I'll cover them generally. If it's Cleveland Cavaliers, you're out of luck. And as always, go blue and have a great Friday and Groundhog Day.